This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, hour number two, what's happening? Tiki and Tierney, this is the Tiki and Tierney Show. Coming to you from our Rocket Mortgage studio. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket Mortgage helps you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. We'll get to the Rams here, who have suddenly morphed into a completely unrecognizable product. Tua has shown some promise the last couple of games. Could he maybe be figuring things out a little bit? Inbounds, out of bounds coming up this hour as well. And something on the Raiders, something on Clemson, a little something on LeBron James. LeBron's got a little bit of an attitude.
Yeah, he does. Right?
Lordery LeBron.
Getting kicked out of games. Right? And suspended, cursing at people.
Getting fans kicked out of games.
I know.
I mean, LeBron's interesting. He's on the menu, and also a free agent signing that is not Max Scherzer, but another one. And wow, Scherzer. Samter, pop open the mic. What was the number you would say, or what was the tweet from Jeff Pat? We'll get to the NFL here, but what was the number with Passan? Because a lot of these free agents now, with the collective bargaining agreement getting ready to expire, there's really only another day to negotiate if you want to get this thing done before the expiration. And looks like some of these players obviously are motivated to do that. Scherzer did that 3 years with the Mets, which is great. Great for New York baseball. Great for the Mets. DeGrom's healthy. Scherzer 1-2. Wow, as good as anything I've ever seen. But there's still a lot of free agents, and I've heard that Corey Seager is motivated to get this thing done in the next day. I don't know when Correa wants to get it done. I still think he might be a Tiger. I've said that a while now. We'll see if that comes to fruition. Trevor Story. But anyway, the point is, what was the tweet from Passan about the amount of money that's been spent versus what still remains, Mike?
So, the record of the most money of guaranteed spending ever in free agent history for the baseball was back in 2019-20, when that was Strasburg, Rendon, Zach Wheeler, Gerrit Cole. The total offseason spending by baseball teams was $2.1 billion for that offseason. That's
okay.
The record.
Yep. Okay.
So far, after just a couple days of the free agent spending being open, $1.1 billion has already been spent, including the Scherzer and Robbie Ray deals. That's not including, and you mentioned some of these names, Seager, Correa, Freddie Freeman, Story, Baez, Chris Bryant, Castellanos, Stroman, Suzuki, Rodon, Iglesias, Kershaw, Taylor, Schwarber, and Conforto. So, like, the odds of it, it's already going to pass the all-time most spending, but, like, it's going to shatter it. I mean, the amount of money going around, $43 million, and this is the other part, $43.3 million to Scherzer is more per year than the entire Cleveland Guardians salary and payroll.
Yeah.
That's
ridiculous. Well, they got to get the website right, the Twitter trademark settled first before they spend money. Roller hockey team.
Well, I think they did. Didn't they settle
that? Maybe they did.
It was settled like a week and a half ago.
Oh, they cut a check? Good.
Yeah. There you go. And so they're both going to continue with it, and it'll be fine.
Wait, they're both going to keep it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a weird settlement, but... Yeah,
doesn't seem like a settlement at all. Not one that's suitable for me if I'm running the Guardians.
They just wanted to get paid. Yeah, that's what it came
down to. I'll pay you more to delete you.
Yeah.
what the hell did that? So we can tweet it as well?
It's a roller.
I'm going to pay you money to tweet under the same name?
It's a roller derby
makes
thing.
Makes no sense.
Right? It's not confusing.
Think about how much more traction that roller derby team is going to get just by people being confused.
Right. So they probably invested in them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Honest with you.
You know?
All right, we'll give you money, but think of it as an investment.
Exactly. You'll do some lift and force. And by the way, just another thought on the baseball. Two more thoughts. Number one, all the monies that have been thrown out there, Yankees haven't thrown a dime into it yet.
Mm-hmm.
You think that might change it better. And number two, listen, I love Gerrit Cole. I know Gerrit Cole stumbled last year down the stretch. Otherwise, he would have won the Cy Young. He was great before that. But to me, I'm much more of a proponent of something like what the Mets are doing here with Scherzer. I would always rather give you an incredible amount of AAV. Like, I'll give you 40. Hell, I'll give you 50 if you're the right guy for 3 or 4 years rather than, you know, have these ridiculous 10-year contracts.
I think you're right. I 100% agree with
really?
You.
Really? Especially for a pitcher.
Keep yourself with some flexibility if you need to, if whatever, for whatever reason, you got to get out of it.
Yeah. And by the way, Scherzer can opt out after 2 years.
Yeah. The Dodgers also are not and have not spent any
that's
money
right.
yet.
So that's right.
The big money spenders are pumping the brand. I mean, that's interesting.
I mean, you said, Mike, you know, it's funny. We focus on the shortstops here. You almost forget Freddie Freeman. Yeah, you mentioned Freeman. That was a name that I didn't even rip off. Freddie Freeman's going to get... I mean, I don't know if I would give Freddie Freeman $300 million. Somebody might, but he's going to get at least $250. I mean, right there, he's getting $250 million.
But he's 32 years old.
But he's a high on base guy, and he's not you know, I don't know that his skills will diminish. He's a good fielder. He'll be really good the next 4 or 5 years. It's going to be interesting to see what he gets. But when Trevor Siemian gets almost $200 million, I like Trevor Siemian. I know he's in the inbounds,
Marcus
out of bounds.
Siemian,
what'd I say?
You said Trevor.
I mean, Marcus Siemian, pardon me. Trevor Siemian flat out stinks. Marcus Simeon's good. My bad. All right. So, the Rams, you know, it's funny. Look at the Lions ruined careers. Oh, those Lions, they just, even a quarterback with the best arm talent, look at them. Stafford couldn't win. And I'll tell you what, for the first 7-8 weeks, those were fair statements. Man, look at Stafford with coaching.
Yeah.
Look at Stafford with a plan. Look at Stafford with players around them. Now, I know Robert Woods is gone, and I said it on the show. That was going to really – I don't care what Beckham did with that touchdown.
Yep.
He ain't Robert Woods.
Yeah.
But right now, one of the brilliant young minds in the – I know it's easy to drop this at his doorstep, Stafford, but McVay is not coaching the same.
Yeah.
He's getting away from the run.
Well, the reason he's getting away from the run is because you can't do the same things in the run game without Robert Woods. Now, what am I talking about? Obviously, Robert Woods is a better blocker. Not that Odell Beckham Jr. is not willing – but with Robert Woods in the game, you could do so many different lineup variations for your wide receivers. You put the guys outside, him and Cooper Kupp could interchange who was going to be your route runner, who was going to be your point of attack blocker. Like, you could do all these different things. Van Jefferson, who's still on this team, isn't really that kind of guy. He's not interchangeable like that. Odell Beckham Jr. has never been asked to do anything like that. And for him to conceptualize it in 2 weeks, like, hey, this is what Robert Woods does. There's nuance to this because if the guy comes, you don't block him. You actually go up to the next level. Like, you can't teach someone that in that short amount of time. So as a result, they've had to get very static. Like, not a lot of movement in their run game. And you see it. I mean, they rush for 68 yards, BT, 3.4 yards a clip. And it just feels non-impactful. And so when you have a non-impactful run game for a team that likes to throw deep balls, because that's what Matthew Stafford does,
yep.
guess what the secondary is going to do? All right, we know you're not running the football. We're going to sit back here and cover four. Now, you know, honestly, Odell Beckham Jr. ran through cover four and, you know, scored that big touchdown. That was just because they were expecting a run on that play. But for the most part, their offense has shifted when Robert Woods went out because of what Robert Woods did in their run game, like how he allowed them to execute their run game. They're not able to do it, and so they become much more static, and their offensive line has struggled a little bit, and Matt Stafford not getting sacked a ton, but he's getting hit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can see it. Like, he won't stand in there and find his guy on a second or third read. He's just getting the ball out of his hands and hoping the guy goes and makes a play. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's just easier to defend than it was earlier on in the season.
Yeah, and you really wonder because, you know, even with this three-game skid, which, you know, is obviously very ugly, if it balloons to four, then something's really wrong because they're playing the Jaguars
That's
coming
right.
up. So they'll get healthy there, and then they've got the Cards in Seattle, and Seattle's obviously not that good this year, and we'll see where the Cardinals are. That one's in Arizona. So I would imagine the Rams are going to eventually get some wins here, but they're still not the team that we thought they would be.
No.
I mean, that's certainly a fair statement. But
they're just different.
They're different. Their plus-minus is suddenly plus 36.
Yeah.
That is not incredibly impressive for a team that just went out and abandoned all their draft equity to go and make a run at it, and we thought was incredibly dominant. Three straight games now, their quarterback has a pick six. That hasn't happened in over 6 years. And I don't know, as I try to extrapolate earlier through their schedule, I'd have to really go through each game. But the Tennessee game was the Sunday night game. So yes. That was alarming. We saw Stafford throw from the end zone when he wasn't even like he flailed it like a rookie. Like, we all saw that because it was the standalone game. But there were games before that where, quite frankly, they played in descending order or descending weeks. They played Houston, Detroit, the Giants, and Seattle. Now, if you want to tell me, and at that point, Russell Wilson wasn't there. So without Russell, with Russell, they're not good. Without him, they were terrible. Those four games, which were wins, I wonder how much of their deficiencies were masked.
Yeah.
Because they played some of the worst teams in the NFL.
Yeah. No, I think a lot of it was.
So, you know, this thing's going on longer than we thought, maybe, is what I'm saying.
And I think the other thing to bring up, and I was just talking about the offense, their defense just hasn't been impactful.
No.
Right? And Aaron Donald is such a dominant player. You expect him to be elite every game. Like, you expect him to show up and have a sack and a half or at least five or six pressures a game, and you're not seeing that anymore. Now, maybe that's something's up with him. Maybe, you know, teams are just figuring out how to, I don't know, be more consistent and keeping him disrupted. But Aaron Donald has six sacks on the season. He's only got 21 pressures on the year, you know. And so it's when you look at how that's changed up front defensively, you're seeing why teams start to feel more comfortable. Now, let's caveat this, obviously. They're playing the Green Bay Packers, and Aaron Rodgers is as good as anybody at getting the ball out of his hands, keeping drives alive, and making plays out of nothing. And so credit the Green Bay Packers. It's not like we're playing the Giants this week.
No,
they're playing the Green
Bay
Packers.
Very, very, very good team.
Right, and so it's important to say that. But over the last couple of years, it almost didn't matter who they were playing. Like, defensively, they were just elite. They were elite in the secondary. They were great up front, and it was just hard to do anything, move the ball on them, which allowed their offense to have a lot more freedom. So, you know, you hear coaches, it's a cliche it's become now, complimentary football. They're not doing either one really well. They're not bad. Mm-hmm. They're 7-4. We're not saying they're out of the conversation, but they just haven't looked good for 3 weeks in a row, and it could continue.
Yeah, no, it could. I think it's time for a good State of the Rams soundbite session here. First up, the head coach on the three-game skid. Here's Sean McVay.
That's six left for sure. That's a lot of football, and this story isn't written yet. You know, we've got the pen, and we've got to make sure that we do a great job of controlling what we can control. We're going through a little bit of adversity right now. There's a lot of teams, when you look at the totality of the season, I know I keep saying that word totality because it is something that you got to be able to focus on. We've got 11 games. We're guaranteed 17 right now, and so we've got to do a great job with the six remaining games that we have. You can't minimize and look over the things that we haven't done a good enough job. We're going to continue to attack that with a solution-oriented mindset, and that's what we'll do.
All right, so he's locked in, and he's obviously focused here. Let's hear from Stafford, who, let's face it, you know, for all the years he's been in the NFL, at this point of the season, he's been an afterthought for the most part, except one or two seasons where Detroit was, you know, in the mix of a wild card or a meaningful season. So now the spotlight's a little different. Stafford on the loss to the Packers. Here he is.
You can't come into Lambeau Field and have three turnovers in minus territory and expect to, you know, play the game you want to play. You know, we were able to fight back, and I got a ton of, you know, confidence and respect in the guys in our locker room and the way that we battled and kept playing. But, you know, it's a whole lot easier when you're playing the game on your terms a little bit and being able to dictate the game the way we want to. You know, do nothing but look in the mirror, find ways to get better, continue to just try to be as fundamentally sound as I possibly can at all times, and then that usually you know, gets going in the right direction.
All right, I got one more for you. I have not heard this, but I'm very curious because this could go, depending upon which way it goes, could be very interesting. Jalen Ramsey was asked if the defense is growing frustrated with the offense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's frustrating. We're not going to, like, point a finger at the offense or be, like, mad at them. Yeah, do they need to correct that stuff? Of course, and we always going to try to challenge them to correct it, but things don't go our way sometimes.
Okay, fair. Not yeah. Overly. He was honest, but also, you know, still a sign of solidarity.
Yeah,
nothing
right.
There. You know, I'm not trying to make him too much out of that.
True, but they're turning the ball over, and that's where you get to it. I mean, three turnovers in this game, you know, two last against the San Francisco 49ers. And you go back to the Tennessee Titans game, they held the Titans defensively. This is the Rams defense. Held the Titans to under 200 yards, and they lost by a lot.
To be fair, though, the Titans got the ball so many times with short fields.
I agree, okay. But still, it's like you just look at...
And the Titans aren't that good on offense.
Like, that's my point. So it's almost like you're shooting yourself in the foot offensively. So I bring that up for a point. Like, the Titans scored 28 points. They had less than 200 yards at offense,
mm-hmm.
Right? That's because the Rams offense was giving away the ball in the tight red area and making it easy for them. The Titans are, they're a shell of who they used to be.
Yes.
Right? And so you almost, if you don't give them the game, they can't really beat you. The Rams have been giving away the games these last couple. It's 7 turnovers in the last 3 games. It's just uncharacteristic, and I don't care how good you are, how good of a play caller you are, how much talent you have, that's going to lose you football games in the NFL, especially against teams that are still in it, like the 49ers, like the Tennessee Titans, and certainly like the Green Bay Packers are one of the best teams in the AFC, in the NFC.
And the Packers at this point, to me, along with Tampa, the only two teams I trust in the NFC.
I agree.
It's been volatile all year, but there was for a large part of the season, you know, I really trusted Dallas, and I still think if they get healthy and that Dallas could be a very tough out. Because what they have could travel, you know, with Parsons and Diggs doing their thing on defense, Pollard and Zeke running the ball, if they're healthy and if they have to play on the road, which they will. But, you know, Tampa's a team I trust. I trust the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah,
the erosion
not many.
Of the Rams. Who else is there in the NFC that you trust?
There's not a lot.
Two teams.
There's two teams. And even Tampa Bay Buccaneers, as much as I like them,
uh-huh.
to your point.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're beat up in their secondary.
Yeah, they are.
And it's just
Fun
like,
things back, but they're still ravaged.
I mean, the plays they gave up to Indy, the big play touchdowns, it was like, what are you looking at? And so I think if they get healthy, I will really trust them. The only other team that I would say, and it's only because of what they've done in the absence of their star, is the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals still have the best record in the NFC. They're 9-2, and they've won a couple of games with Colt McCoy. If Kyler Murray comes
and
back...
And not their head coach.
Exactly, because he was out.
He had COVID. He missed a game.
And so if Kyler Murray comes back and Clint Kingsbury is, you know, the designing of an offense like he's been all season long, they could be the team to really beat. But Kyler's got to be there. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm not trusting them with Colt
McCoy. That's the operative word, trust.
I'm not trusting them with Colt McCoy as their quarterback.
I'm not even fully trusting them with Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
Not fully trusting them. I like him.
I'm
intrigued by him.
He's just
fully
got,
trust, no.
He's just got to be
I
healthy.
I trust Rodgers.
But he's been great.
I trust Brady.
Kyler has been great. He's just got to be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big if.
Okay.
It's the second season in a row where we've seen attrition get the best of him.
That's true. And he's only been in the league a couple of years. Can't deny it. All right, coming up, this is pretty interesting here. Here we, you know, really since the Dolphins took Tua over Herbert, we've sat here and said, man, they made a monster mistake. And they did. I mean, obviously, Herbert's the better player. But if you really microanalyze the way Herbert's played, it's kind of gets glossed over a little bit that he's not playing particularly well. He's had some duds the last 5 or 6 weeks of the season here. And very quietly, Tua's starting to show a little something, put a little something on film. What does it mean, the new directions for each of these quarterbacks? Anything? Tiki and I'll flush through that coming up next right here on Tiki and Tierney.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Hey, this Saturday coming up on CBS, it's a matchup of epic proportions for the SEC Championship at a possible top spot in the college football playoff. Number one, Georgia, taking on number three, Bama, who just barely survived Auburn. And they'll set the scene beginning at 3 Eastern Noon Pacific. The drive to Atlanta presented by Mercedes-Benz, followed by State Farm College Football today. The SEC Championship is this Saturday on CBS.
I beat you.
Yes,
I did not see this.
What's that?
The match.
I did. I saw a lot of it.
How was it? Because I didn't watch it at all.
That was weak.
It felt weak.
It was weak.
It felt weak.
It was
We talked all year because people...
I told you I'd watch it.
I know you did, but people conveniently forgot that the PGA instituted this social media bonus thing.
Yes.
And so... Like, we speculated, was this beef real or was it manufactured? They get to the Ryder Cup and they're boys and they dominate, you know, Europe, Team Europe, Team USA just crushed it this year, which was awesome. But this match was kind of predicated on them, like, hating each other. What did it feel like, dude?
It was, first of all, it was only 12 holes, which is odd. Yeah. I understand timing's an element there, but 12 holes is weird. I mean, it just is. Koepka, you know, it's funny. I was going to say I'm more of a Koepka than a DeChambeau guy, but I don't even know. Like, Koepka just doesn't give you much.
He gives you nothing.
He doesn't give you anything, really. DeChambeau has been a little too petulant for me over time, over the years, but I still think at his core he's a good guy.
Yeah.
And you've played with him.
And that's mostly because I played with him. And I tell you, he was a good guy.
You said he was cool. He treated you well and all that stuff.
Other than that, he's been kind of...
He acts like an ass on the court.
Jerk-ish.
It is what it is. You know, it takes forever in between shots, lining things up. I mean, mathematically, to the inch, to the stitch. It's a little bit annoying to me. But the only thing that I really enjoyed about that... So my point is really neither guy... carries a broadcast in between shots.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
Tiger Woods and Phil Ken.
Yes, that makes perfect sense.
And Phil was on the broadcast, and, you know, Phil was doing his thing, and obviously Charles was there doing his thing and having some fun, but Koepka doesn't give you much in between shots, and DeChambeau is still so immersed in his mathematical
pursuit. So he's actually out there, like still... Like,
oh, he's doing his thing.
Like, analyzing it?
Yeah,
like
he'll never deviate from that.
Ah, come on.
So he is.
But I bet if he ever didn't do that, he'd be fun.
Because he'd free himself up and he'd be the same golfer, probably.
Well, that's how I played with him. He was talking, he was chatting, he was fun. He was just kind of like having a good time.
Yeah, he was more loose than Sunday at a major, but it's still a little.
Yeah.
The only thing that was cool for me, and again, I've watched most of these, you know, whatever. But the course, which is Wynn's course, the relatively new hotel right on the Strip, right?
Yes, yes.
So this is a million years ago, but when I lived in Las Vegas in the early 2000s, I played, that used to be the Desert Inn. And I played that course with my dad. I've got on the course once or twice with guys. I was just in radio. It was my second job, as you know. So I had a chance to play. So it was cool for me to watch the match, even though the course is very different.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Wynn just threw $100 million at it, maybe more. And when I was there, it was more like the 50s. It was like a renaissance. Like, they had pictures of, like, Jack with, like, coins. Like the real Vegas aura, you know? Yeah. So outside of that, I was at my in-laws in Dallas. I was half watching. The smack talk wasn't particularly good.
Yeah. That's what I figured. I'm glad I didn't watch it.
You know. Up until the last game or so, was a way to describe Tua as well. He probably drafted the wrong guy. Doesn't look that good. Now, before we get to Tua, let's at least give you a little something on Herbert, because forever those two are intertwined based on where they were drafted, what the Dolphins did, taking Herbert over, taking Tua Tua over Herbert, which will always be a colossal mistake.
Yeah, but it also ties them together now, right?
It ties them together forever, much like Big Ben and Eli and more specifically Phillip.
Yes.
Phillip Rivers with that 04 class. You know, the thing about Herbert, and I love his talent, and he's going to be one of the top slingers and hopefully winners of the game for the next 10, 12, 15 years. I think he's that good. And I think you do as well.
Yes.
But there's one thing to be said here. First of all, I don't love the game plan, but I'll leave that football stuff to you. You know, in the 11 games this year, he's had an interception in 7 of the games, and 3 of the 11, he's had 2 picks. He's a little more mistake-prone than I thought. Is he forcing? Is he just not seeing?
No.
What's going on with Herbert, who's regressed a little bit?
He has.
A little bit.
Honestly, BT, I think it's like a lack of comfort in who he is and what he's actually trying to do. So, because we remember last year under Anthony Lynn, how when Tyrod Taylor got punctured, the lung punctured.
Yep.
And
with the needle.
With the needle. Unintentional, obviously, but it put him out of the game, and then ultimately he got Wally pipped, right?
Yeah,
he just never got his job back from Justin Herbert. But remember, Justin Herbert came into that game, and then the subsequent games, it was like, dude, who is this kid throwing dimes from like 40 yards downfield in the back corners of end zones? You never saw him do that, right? The coordinator was Shane Steichen last year, and it was like, dude, this coordinator, this play calling, Pep Hamilton as the quarterback coach, like they really upped this kid's game from what we thought it was going to be leaving Oregon. And so this year, you look at the offense, and it's not that, right? It's none of that like big, strong, strapping quarterback. You know, you see a mismatch downfield, let it fly. Joe Burrow's doing a lot of this.
Mm-hmm.
Just letting it fly.
Like the touchdown of Higgins.
To Higgins.
Just threw it up there.
My guy's better than your guy. Uh-huh. I'm going to put it where I think my guy's going to catch it. Go make a big play touchdown. It was the only touchdown of the game. They're not doing that. They're not allowing that to happen right now with Justin Herbert. Why? I don't know. Joe Lombardi is now the offensive coordinator. He's changed the mentality of this offense, and I think it's changed the level of confidence for Justin Herbert. What we've seen, and it's kind of shocking, is his intended air yards per pass attempt. So basically, I'm throwing you a crossing route. It's 3-yard intended pass attempts, right? I'm throwing you a post. It's 18 yards attempted pass yards per attempt. This year, his intended air yards per pass attempt is 6.9. The top in the league is Justin Fields, but scratch him. Russell Wilson is like 9.9. Tom Brady's like 8.5.
Fields is number one?
He's number one.
That's surprising.
They're chunking the ball downfield, which, by the way, tells you a lot about what Matt Nagy is doing wrong with Justin Fields.
Yeah.
Because you're making a guy stand in a pocket with a gross offensive line and throw the ball, on average, 10 and a half yards downfield, which doesn't make any damn sense, but that is what it is. Derek Carr is like 8.4. Zach Wilson is 8.2.
My boy, Zach, right? Free him.
The lowest.
Let him fling it.
The lowest in the league is Jared Goff, who's 6.0,
oh, he's terrible.
And Tua is second lowest, who's 6.6.
We're going to get to a little bit more in a second.
But I'm tying them for a reason. The reason that works for Tua is because that's Tua's skill set.
Doesn't have a great arm.
He doesn't have an arm. He's not throwing accurately 40 yards downfield or 28-yard crossing route or whatever it is. He's not doing that well. And so dink and dunk your way. Let's kick this thing out to Jalen Waddle on a slant route. Let him split it and go 60, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Miami Dolphins are doing to take advantage of Tua's skill set. I feel like with the Chargers right now, they looked at his skill set, thought, well, you're still young. Maybe we don't want you to put you in danger, throw balls that are dangerous. Let's pull you back a little bit. And by pulling him back, you've made him uncomfortable because he just doesn't throw those easy routes as good as he does the more complex ones, if that makes any sense.
It does.
So just let him cook. And for whatever reason, they haven't, and he's making a lot of mistakes doing so.
I'll tell you, there's been too many times this year. Listen, their record, what are they, 6-5 now, I think it is? They still have a winning record.
Yep. And everybody in the West is 6-5.
That's true.
And the Chiefs
The
Chiefs are 7-4.
Yep. So it's not like they're, they're 3-whatever. I mean, they have a chance to still do something this year.
Of course.
And Herbert's going to be a superstar, I believe.
But no doubt.
There's been too many games this year where I watch him And I watch them for a sustained amount of time, and they got a donut on the board.
Yes.
And I understand, like, the Jets going through periods with no points or some other teams that are rebuilding, even Miami before Tua started to play a little bit better. Mm-hmm. You know, but when you have Eckler and Allen and Williams and Cook, and you have a terrific young left tackle, Rashawn Slater, mm-hmm. like, the Chargers should never go, as long as they possess the football, more than a quarter without scoring something.
I think you're right.
And it happens too much.
It happens way too much, and I think there's an identity crisis going on with this offense. And, you know, defensively, they're still pretty good. But offensively, statistically, they're fine, but they're not scoring. And Justin Herbert feels like the shackles are on him a little bit. Mm-hmm. He's not able to be himself and feel confident, comfortable maybe, but not confident
yep.
in what he's doing. And so he's second-guessing himself, and that's why you're seeing multiple games with multiple turnovers.
Yeah, and you're starting to see Tua, you know, get a little more comfortable. They're getting comfortable.
It's easy for Tua right now because they're not asking him to do a
yeah.
ton.
I'm still not huge on his upside at all.
You shouldn't be.
Don't think he's got a great arm. Don't think he's incredibly talented at this level. But
yep.
I'll give the young man some props. Dolphins playing a little bit better.
Absolutely. They won? Four in a row now? The Miami
is it three or four? They beat the Ravens. They beat the Jets. Maybe it is four, whatever it is.
They're 5-7 now. Like all of a sudden,
yeah.
they're kind of in, yeah, four in a row.
Four. What was the other team I missed? I said the Jets, the Ravens yesterday.
They beat Houston.
Oh, the Texans. That's
Baltimore.
Right. Yeah, no, I said
remember
that.
The Baltimore one was crazy, and the Jets and the Panthers. I mean, they destroyed the Panthers. Mm-hmm. Now, part of that was because Cam played horrendous.
Not as bad as Cam played yesterday.
Cam played horrendous.
Dude, that was
yesterday.
One of the worst games a quarterback's ever played in the NFL.
That's right.
5 for 21?
What was his rating? 5?
It doesn't matter.
I think it was 5.
5 for 21?
But I think that was also his rating. I think it was 5.
5 for 21. It wasn't even raining out.
It was that's almost impossible.
Jeez,
and by
terrible.
The way, Chris McCaffrey is on IR again. If you haven't seen that, he's done for the season.
Mm-hmm.
Don't love C-Mac right now. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if he's that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it
body's
is what
breaking
it,
down. Anything to maybe wonder about with Christian McCaffrey?
I mean, how can you not?
I don't know. Right? He's pretty yoked. I mean, I'm just asking. I don't know.
You get hurt all the time. You get too much load on those joints. As things start to break down. You wonder what substances this guy is doing.
Fair.
I don't want to speculate.
No,
but
we're just asking. We're not saying. We're just asking.
It's just guys that are hurt all the time.
It's not common.
Start to worry me.
Like J.J. Watt.
That's right.
Very similar.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We know this guy's not taking anything. Just look at him. What up, Ack? How are you today, buddy?
I'm doing just great. Clean living, my friend.
Clean living. That is good. How was Thanksgiving? Did you see your mom?
Yes. Yes, I did. My brother was in town, too, so it was a whole family Thanksgiving.
Nice.
And you guys spent it in Brooklyn, I imagine, right?
Yes.
How's the old neighborhood looking, all right?
Looking great. Looking great. And got brought in from the old delicatessen, so it was nice.
Happy Hanukkah, by the way.
Thank you.
That's
thank
right.
You guys as well.
Yeah. Happy. Well, I don't celebrate, but happy Hanukkah to everybody who does, all of our friends.
It's the spirit. Yes.
The mensch on the bench. My neighbors have that now. The Elf on the Shelf makes the appearance. The mensch on the bench is now being sold everywhere as they continue to make money off of everything. Doesn't matter what your religious affiliation is. All right, let's get the update from Ack. We'll come back inbounds, out of bounds after Ack's update. And LeBron has been a little ornery and started to lose a little support. People are starting to get on LeBron. Hmm. What is it stemming from? And what's it mean after Ack's update right now? Here's Rich.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, Tiki and Tierney here. Inbounds, out of bounds, coming up in a moment. First, though, it's time for the Home Depot report. Doing more. Home Depot is everything you need to make sure you get the perfect gifts this year. Shop in store, online, or use the Home Depot app. It's the Home Depot, how doers get more done. So, in Miami's 33-10 win over the Panthers yesterday, rookie wideout Jalen Waddle caught 9 passes for a 137 and a touchdown through 12 games. He's got 77 receptions, big numbers. Second most by a player in his first 12 games in NFL history. Odell had 91 back in the day with the G-Men. So there you go. All right, Tiki and Tierney, by the way, another big free agent signing. We will alert you who and where as we get into inbounds, out of bounds. Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right, what's wrong, and who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now.
Tiki, so the Las Vegas Raiders won a big game on Thursday against the Cowboys. They beat them 36-33. Interim head coach Rich Bisaccia's record is now even at 3-3. And our own Jason LaConfora reports that Mark Davis, the owner, is holding off his coaching search, even rebuffing some interested parties so he and the team can focus on a playoff run. All right, in or out, it's a mistake for Davis to delay the search for a new head coach.
I'm going to say out of bounds because the NFL has changed some of these rules already leading into these coaching searches because there's always this like mad dash right before the playoffs or in the midst of the playoffs. And it's just, I don't want to say it's unfair, but it just makes it really difficult to do the right kind of diligence. So I'm going to say out of bounds. I think it's smart for them to try to focus on the playoffs. Look, I don't know if they're actually going to get there, but they find ways to win some games that they shouldn't, and they find ways to lose some games that they shouldn't.
True.
I think they make the playoffs. I don't know how far they go, though, so it's worth the effort.
Yeah, I'm going to say in bounds here, though, because, you know, what is Mark Davis going to actually do to help them prepare for the playoffs? Nothing. I mean, Mark Davis owns the team. Mark Davis is not at practice. He might be at practice, but I mean, if he's instructing at practice, which I highly doubt, like his dad would, then something's really awry out there in Vegas. But my point is, I get it, but they can intertwine here. You can still do your due diligence and see what's out there. Listen, Bisaccia.
Maybe he just really likes him.
No, and I'm fine with that. But nobody is busting down the door for Rich Bisaccia this offseason. And that's not a knock. That's just a football lifer who's been around for a long time, who's got a chance based on the circumstances, and he's done a decent job so far. Better early than late, but he did win in Dallas the other day, so you give him props, and he's 3-3.
Yep.
Now, he might be the guy. They might retain him. I'm not saying that he isn't, but you can still perform your due diligence before other jobs open and other teams get a leg up with candidates that can elevate your franchise.
Good point.
That's what I'm saying.
I think Mark Davis has the added challenge of not like really knowing a lot of these guys, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like reaching out under back channels to some agent. Like,
that's why you got to start now. Got to lay a foot. You got to lay the foundation even earlier if that's the case.
It's a good point. What I'm really interested in, and then we'll go on, is what part Mike Mayock plays in this.
Yeah,
right. Because some people thought he might be a casualty as well, but it seems like he's hanging around.
We'll see. Imagine the draft would be his wheelhouse, but that's a fair point about him and his future as well.
My point is, does he get a say?
I don't think he'd have a strong seat at the table with with the head coach myself, but we'll see.
Are you in or are you out?
All right. After starting the season 4-3 and quickly falling out of the playoff conversation, Clemson's reeled off 5 straight a little quietly, and they won 30-0 over the weekend. They drubbed their rival South Carolina. After the game, Dabo said the surprisingly down year may actually help the program moving forward.
What perspective would you say this season has kind of given you now that the regular season is wrapped up?
It's hard to win, you know. It's hard to win. And one positive I hope will come from this is, you know, everybody have an appreciation for winning. I don't care how we win. It's really hard to win. And I don't know that people really can appreciate what's happened the last 7 years here. You know, you just kind of just go, and then all of a sudden we're not entitled to win, and I know we're expected to win, but I mean, I hope that there'll be a reset on the appreciation of winning, and for our team, the appreciation of what it takes to win. Man, this will be a year that I think will serve us well, you know, down the road.
All right, Teak, inbounds, out of bounds. We believe it's good for Clemson long-term to be served a little humble pie.
Yeah, I do think it is. I think it got a little bit, I don't want to say too easy for them, but it did get a little bit too easy for them in the ACC mainly because they always had the best quarterback. When with DJ Uiagalelei not playing great football this year, you had some quarterbacks, whether it was Devin Leary at NC State, who beat Clemson. They finished above them. Wake Forest, Sam Hartman at Wake Forest, they finished above them in the Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
You have Pittsburgh playing in the ACC Championship against Wake Forest now. Their quarterback was really great as well. So I think it is worth humble pie and saying and showing that sometimes the best team, like Clemson, doesn't always have the best players.
Okay, I got you. Fundamentally, I don't disagree with the word you said, but I'm going to answer it and we'll say out of bounds here. I don't believe that, you know, whether it's arrogance or laziness or, you know, accepting or this false confidence, I don't believe that's what led to the demise this year. I just believe they're not as good. And, like, I think that this is just the cyclical nature of college football.
Mm.
You know, and again, we'll see. I listen, put it, for a school like Clemson, any school,
they shouldn't have the recruiting issues that they're having.
I got you. But is that born out of laziness? Or
No,
what I'm saying.
No, so I think it's just missing.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And not having great backups.
No, I get it. But I don't think it's good. Like, they didn't need humble pie. They just need more. They just need better players. And I think when you start to lose a few games, now the tarnish, that luster subsides a bit. And you might lose a few more if this proves to be more than a one-year bleed over into next, which I'm not so sure it will be. No, if you want to stay on top, the way to stay on top is to stay on top rather than being on top and being knocked back two spots and then trying to get back on top. So I'm going to say out of bounds.
Yeah, but the reality is the ACC is going to – the quarterbacks are going to change.
They're all
right?
going to change. Howell's right. going to be gone.
Howell's
going to be gone.
Hartman's
I get
gone.
It. No, I understand Leary's that.
Leary's going to be gone.
But they still need a guy who's good. Independent of what the other schools had, what they had stunk for the most part.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teague. It's been a rough season, even a rougher couple of weeks for LeBron. First, he received his first career suspension for his role in the fight with Isaiah Stewart. And then he was fined for an obscene gesture in the win over the Pacers and warned about using profane language after calling the suspension bull bleep. So, also had a couple of fans booted. We do believe this recent rash of behavior is more of a result of LeBron's frustrations with the Lakers than a true indication of his character.
Yeah, I'd say inbounds to that. You've never had any issue like this at all with LeBron. But it's also, it may be an indication of him being a sore loser. He's just never been used to losing in his life. And, you know, as a Laker right now, they are, I mean, barely 500. And I think they might be at 500 after winning last night. But it's just that he's not used to this. He's not used to things just falling into place because of his hard work. And he may just be working just as hard,
mm-hmm.
but it's just not as easy because the team's not all, it's not fully constructed well, or it's not developing maybe as quickly as he wanted. So I think, yeah, it's a frustration in bounds.
I'm kind of in between here. I'm going to lean with the frustrations. I'm going to say out of bounds, but I want to make sure I'm very clear about this. Listen, I don't believe it's a lack of character.
No.
Or a true indication of his character. Character is what you do when nobody's watching.
Yeah.
And, you know, even though I pick on LeBron, you know, his self-glorification, congratulations and all that stuff, and always posing on Instagram. I think he's a little cheesy in that regard, a little corny, a little bit too self-indulgent myself. What I believe he's doing when nobody's watching is, for the most part, very, very good. So I don't think it's a character thing. I just think it's an empowerment. And, you know, he's got the league by the short ones. He knows it. He's got the world by the short ones in a lot of ways. And he's a little drunk on power right now and feels as if he is above recall from any league mandate or league league boss, if you will. So I don't think it's necessarily character, but I don't think it's just because of the way the team's scuffling either. So I guess it's between inbounds, out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
Marcus Semien, yellow baseball here, finished third in the AL in MVP voting after bombing 45 jacks that he drove at 102 for the Toronto Blue Jays this year. Now he's 31 years old. He's getting paid. Receives a monster 7-year $175 million deal with the Rangers. We knew the Rangers were coming with their fist open. And by the way, the Rangers aren't done. Corey Seager in the last 15 minutes. Corey Seager signed. I thought he was going to leave. I didn't think he was going to go to Texas there. 10 years for $325 million. So we'll see now what Trevor Story and obviously Carlos Correa do. But Seager's in the mix as well. Pertaining to Semien, all right, first time over 35 home runs and over 95 RBIs. And his career OPS is .768. Keep in mind, he played in cavernous Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to fact, very tough stadium to hit. Anyway, in or out? The Rangers did vastly overpay for Semien.
I'm going to say out of bounds of this, BT, because I think what the Rangers are doing are trying to make themselves relevant like the Padres did by spending money. Uh-huh. And at the end of the day, free agents and agents want to know that the team is willing to go all out in order to win and become a winner. So they're just trying to change their perception. So even if they did overpay, I don't think it's vastly detrimental. So I'm going to say out of bounds.
Yep, I'm going to say in bounds, but we're in essence saying the same thing. Yes, they did vastly overpay for Trevor.
But it's all right.
I keep saying Trevor.
Yeah, I know.
For Marcus Semien. But the reason they did that is because they needed to, you know, prove that they are serious.
Yeah.
And if they now listen, I don't know that Marcus Semien knew that Corey Seager was going to sign there unless they have the same agent, which I don't think they do. Or their buddies, whatever. They could have been in cahoots. Who knows? But, you know, for somebody like Marcus Semien, again, really, really good player. And by the way, look at his stats. He plays almost every game. A couple of years, he's led the league where he's played every one of the 162 games. He's got some positional versatility, got a little pop. He's got a little attitude. I really like Marcus Semien. But, yes, they overpaid at $175 million for a 31, soon-to-be 32-year-old player. But that doesn't mean that it's the wrong move. For them, it's the right move. They needed to infuse the talent level tremendously, and to entice one guy to lead to two or three, they overpay, but I get it.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
Hey, T, what's up with Kimball Walker being out of the rotation?
He's not playing very well, and those knees are pretty shot. And I'll tell you what, it's funny. I was just walking through the halls, down the halls, WFAN locally, and one of the producers, he was asking me about that. Interesting that it's one thing to, like, lose the starting job, which I'm fine with. Another thing to be out of the rotation, meaning you ain't playing.
Exactly. You're sitting on that. You're healthy, did not play.
Which I'm also kind of fine with. Again, do I think America cares about Alec Burks, the new point guard? I don't. He's 30 years old, and he is what he is, though I like him. But what I told the guy outside, I said, I think the move is, it's about Kemba, but it's a move that actually frees up unlocks two or three other moves. I think Burks will be better for RJ Barrett.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'll be better for Julius Randle. So that's why he did it. But still, pretty surprising to use the words out of the rotation.
Yeah,
agreed. I get it. I saw that, obviously. Hour three coming up. NFL, back to that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.